We're continuing in the 17th chapter of 2 Samuel. We invite you to get your Bibles and follow along with us verse by verse. We're now in the 14th verse of this chapter. We find that Absalom has just usurped the throne from David. David is forced to flee from Jerusalem, and Absalom is making plans about going after David and encountering him with a sword and having a battle to the death. And of course, in his mind, it's going to be to the death of David. He's called in his wise counselor, Ahithophel, and asked Ahithophel what is the best course to take at this point. And Ahithophel gives him some wise advice. He says, you go tonight, or you let me take 12,000 men myself tonight and pursue after David. We'll find David and we'll kill only David, and then everybody will be turned toward you. They won't have anybody else to follow, and you'll be victorious and we'll have peace in the land. That was his plan, and it was a good plan. But then, although Absalom liked this plan of Ahithophel, it pleased him very much, he turned to Hushai, the other wise counselor that he had, and he asked him his advice. And of course, Hushai was the spy for David. He was going to give the kind of advice that would be best for David and not best for Absalom. This was God's way of counteracting the wisdom of the wise men. And Hushai said that Ahithophel's counsel is not good at this time. And he argues like this, that David is a very strong warrior. His men are very muchly stirred up in their minds about what's happened. They're going to be very valiant, and they're not going to be easy to find. They're going to be hidden out someplace, and they're going to pounce upon you in some kind of ambush. And the first few men of yours that they kill, then there's going to be a fear go through your army. Their valiant hearts are going to melt like butter, and they're going to say that here we're up against a mighty strong man like David, and we're not going to be successful. So his counsel was that instead of moving tonight against David, that Absalom wait and gather all the fighting men of Israel together from Dan to Beersheba, and then they go in a great multitude of people. They find David, and they light upon him as the dew falleth on the ground, and all of his men will be defeated. There'll not be one man left. We're not just after David now. We're going to get his whole army. There'll not be anybody that can even revolt against you. Not one man left. If he's gotten into a city, we'll destroy that. And so this was the counsel that Hushai gave. It was a counsel in favor of David, actually, because David at this time needed some time. He needed to buy time. He needed a chance to regroup himself. And he certainly didn't need a surprise attack by 12,000 men of Absalom. So verse 14 says, and Absalom and all the men of Israel said, the counsel of Hushai, the Archite, is better than the counsel of Ahithophel. And of course we know that it wasn't better counsel. But this is God's way of counteracting the counsel of Ahithophel. It's God's way of protecting David. And so we see that God works in wondrous and strange ways, even whenever someone has a plan that may be able to defeat us as a Christian. God has the ability to step in and make that person discard that plan and take one that is of an inferior nature. And that's what he does here. Absalom likes the counsel of Hushai better than he does that of Ahithophel. And actually, Hushai is working for David. He's not even working for Absalom at all. For the Lord had appointed to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel to the intent that the Lord might bring evil upon Absalom. So the Bible spells it out very plainly. It was the Lord's doings. The Lord had appointed to defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. Ahithophel had good, wise counsel. It was the best thing to do under the circumstances to defeat David. But it wasn't the Lord's will that David be defeated. And so he worked away then so that the good counsel of Ahithophel would be defeated. It wouldn't be the thing that Absalom would want to do. He caused Absalom to make a more foolish move. And when he did it so that he might bring evil upon Absalom. So we see how the Lord works then for the cause of and in the favor of those that are his servants. In verse 15, we see further action now taken by Hushai. Then said Hushai unto Zadok and to Abiathar the priests, thus and thus did Ahithophel counsel Absalom and the elders of Israel, and thus have I counseled. So he goes to the priests, Zadok and Abiathar, and he explains, now I've given a certain counsel to Absalom, and Ahithophel has given a certain counsel to Absalom. And it appears at this point that Hushai doesn't know which counsel Absalom is going to follow. Whether he will follow his counsel to wait and group the whole armies of Israel together before they go after David, or whether he'll follow the counsel of Ahithophel, which says to go after him tonight with 12,000 men and kill David only, and then you'll have gained the kingdom. And so he is going to these priests so that they can get the message to David. So David will know just where things do stand now. So it says in verse 16, "Now therefore send quickly and tell David, saying, Lodge not this night in the plains of the wilderness, but speedily pass over, lest the king be swallowed up and all the people that are with him." So just in case they should follow Ahithophel's counsel and move now quickly after David, he wants the message to get to David to go on and get out of that area. Do not stay in that wilderness. Go on across Jordan. Go on to a place where you can make a defense, because you're in danger. Even if they had followed the counsel of Hushai, which was to gather all the men of Israel together and go as one fighting unit led by Absalom, even so it would still be to David's advantage to get out of that place as soon as he could and to begin to organize some kind of a resistance against this onslaught of Absalom. So they were to get the message to David, and so here's the plan that they were going to use. Verse 17, "Now Jonathan and Ahimaaz stayed by in Rogel." That is, they did not go right into the city proper of Jerusalem because they wanted to be in a position where they could leave without being seen. And this name in Rogel means the Fuller's Well. It was a place where people would come and bring their clothes and tread them out by foot to cleanse them, apparently. And evidently it wasn't very far from the city of Jerusalem, but these men didn't feel free to enter into Jerusalem and come and go for the fear of being seen by Absalom's men. So they stayed by in Rogel that they might not be seen to come into the city. And a wench went and told them, and they went and told King David. Now, this word for wench is probably a mistranslation. It's the only time this word is used in the whole Bible. And it really should have been translated as a maid, or a maidservant, or a girl. So this is a mistranslation of the Hebrew word which is used in this place. But this girl went and told them, and they went and told King David. So they were going to get the message to David, but we're going to have a story about how this came about also. Verse 18 says, "Nevertheless, a lad saw them and told Absalom." So Absalom learns now of the fact that these two sons of the priests are on the way to tell David a message. "But they went both of them quickly and came to a man's house in Bahurim, which had a well in his court, whither they went down." This place of Bahurim, as we know, is in the tribe of Benjamin. David had only been here a very short while before and refreshed himself. But they came to a man's house that had a well, and no doubt the well was dry at this time of year, and they went down in the well to hide. And the woman took and spread a covering over the well's mouth and spread ground corn thereon, and the thing was not known. So this woman concealed them very well by putting the covering over the well and then ground corn on top of that to appear that there had been no use of this well, and the thing was not known. And when Absalom's servants came to the woman to the house, they said, "Where is Ahimaaz and Jonathan?" And the woman said unto them, "They be gone over the brook of water." So we see here that they were concealed in the well, and when the men came and asked for them, the woman actually told them a lie. And we cannot condone the telling of a lie. It's not a thing that was necessary to have been done here. And yet it did happen. And the purpose was served, for she did steer them away from this area. She told them that they'd already crossed over the brook, over the brook of water. And when they had sought and could not find them, they returned to Jerusalem. So their efforts to stop the messengers going to David failed. Verse 21, "And it came to pass after they were departed that they came up out of the well, and went, and told King David, and said unto David, Arise, and pass quickly over the water, for thus hath Ahithophel counseled against you. So David was told to go on across the water, and no doubt this is the Jordan River. He's to get out of the country, go over beyond Jordan, and this is the counsel that Ahithophel is given. So at this point, they didn't know for sure whether Absalom was going to follow Ahithophel's counsel. If he had of, he would have marched quickly against David that very night. And, of course, this would have been something David would not have been prepared for. So another thing that's learned here is by David that Ahithophel had counseled against him. Ahithophel, who had formerly been his friend, his counselor, his close associate, now was counseling his son in a rebellion against David. So we see how fickle people can be. Even wise people can be so fickle that they will put themselves into a very foolish position of following after a cause that is a very poor cause indeed. Verse 22, Then David arose, and all the people that were with him, and they passed over Jordan. By the morning light there lacked not one of them that had not gone over Jordan. So everyone made it over Jordan. No one turned back. No one was too ill to make the trip. All the followers of David were with him now, and he had all the help that he could have so far as having his faithful followers at his side. And they were being run out of the country, actually, but nevertheless, this was necessary at this time because of the grave situation due to the rebellion of Absalom. It is thought that at this particular time in David's life, while he was in this distress of having to flee the country with the threat of Absalom coming after him, that he penned the 42nd and 43rd Psalms. I'd like to read three verses of Psalm 43, beginning with the first verse. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. So those are two interesting psalms to read, Psalm 42 and 43, because it is thought they were written by David at the time of this great distress. Now in verse 23, we have the story of the end of Ahithophel. And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and gat him home to his house, to his city, and put his household in order, and hanged himself, and died, and was buried in the sepulcher of his father. So we see here that Ahithophel was so offended at the fact that his advice wasn't followed, or he was so wise as to know that since his advice wasn't followed, that David was going to be victorious, and that David would then be able to come back and punish him for his infidelity, one of the two, that he took his own life. This was a premeditated act. He went back to his house, to his own city. He put his household in order. He knew what he was going to do, and so he premeditatedly, deliberately took his own life. Now this did not keep Ahithophel from being buried in his father's sepulcher, and there were times in which the act of suicide was so despicable until the person wasn't allowed the same kind of a burial that someone who died of other causes was allowed. And we see that as wise as this man was, that when he turned against what was right, turned against the things that were best for the will of God, that then he lost his wisdom. He committed a very unwise act. Even if he were afraid of David, he still, by living and seeing how the outcome of this was going to be, he could have provided Absalom with his wise counsel at a later time, and he might have been successful even then in defeating David. But no, he deprived the world of all of his wisdom at this point. He took his own life. He presumptuously did something that God certainly would be displeased with, for God is the one who gives life, and God is the only one who has the right to take life. And we see how David felt about this man. In Psalm 55, he writes about Ahithophel. Psalm 55, beginning with the 17th verse, let's read and see what David says. For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me, then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man of mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together, and walked unto the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them. Let them go down quick into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among men. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. So we see then that this was David's prayer concerning Ahithophel. He was his friend. He was his close acquaintance. He was his advisor. And yet he turned against David. And of course Ahithophel was aware of all this. And I'm sure that this total situation is what figured into his decision to take his own life. The name Ahithophel means the brother of a fool. And certainly Ahithophel in this self-murder did live up to his name. Also we see here where David's prayer was answered. David prayed that his counsel would be brought to foolishness. And certainly it was. This is a most foolish act. Also, we see that the prayer that he gives in the 55th Psalm about let death seize upon them and let them go down quick into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. This prayer also was answered in this suicide of Ahithophel. We're now moving closer to this conflict between David and Absalom. In verse 24, then David came to Mahanaim. Now, this city of Mahanaim was located in Gad. It was at the uttermost border of that tribe, so it means David is as far away as he can be from Jerusalem and still be in the nation of Israel. It also was a Levite city. It was close to the city of Rabbah, which was the Ammonites' capital. And we remember that it was Ishbosheth's royal city back in 2 Samuel 2, verse 8, when Ishbosheth reigned for some 7.5 years while David was at Hebron. So David has retreated as far as he can retreat and still be in the nation. But we find in verse 24 that Absalom comes in pursuit. And Absalom passed over Jordan, he and all the men of Israel with him. So now we have both camps, David and his followers, Absalom and his followers, in this land of Gad, beyond Jordan, and the conflict is not going to be very far away. And Absalom made Amasa captain of the host instead of Joab. Now we see that Joab really didn't follow Absalom, although he was a close friend. He had done all that he could to get Absalom back into the good favor of David. He worked it so that Absalom was able to come home from his exile. But now that Absalom has usurped the throne, Joab is not really a follower of Absalom, and he's not made captain of the host, but he chooses a man named Amasa. And we're going to find a little more about Amasa now in the next sentence. Which Amasa was a man's son, whose name was Ithra, an Israelite, that went in to Abigail, the daughter of Nahash, the sister to Zeruiah, Joab's mother. So we see that Amasa was really a cousin to Joab. His mother was the sister of David, the sister of Zeruiah, and his father was a man named Ithra, called an Israelite. We also learn that another name for Ithra was Jethro, and that he was a proselyte to the Israelite religion. And Abigail, his mother, was the daughter of Nahash. Now either Nahash is another name for Jesse, the father of David, or it was the name of Jesse's wife then. And so Absalom selects then another cousin of himself, Amasa, and also a cousin of Joab, who will be the captain of David's army. Verse 26, so Israel and Absalom pitched in the land of Gilead. So here we see his force, Absalom's force pitched, ready for the battle against David. They're in the land of Gilead, and this is going to mean that a civil war is going to ensue, and the civil war is going to be on the east side of the Jordan River. Verse 27, and it came to pass when David came to Mahanaim, that Shobi, the son of Nahash, of Rabbah, of the children of Ammon, and Machir, the son of Amiel, of Lodibar, and Barzillai, the Gileadite of Rogelim, Now here we have in this verse three people named. And we're going to see that these three people gave great assistance to David at this time. The first one that's named is Shobi, the son of Nahash of Rabbah. Now he was one of the sons of the ruler of this land of Ammon. No doubt he had felt favorably toward David whenever David's ambassadors were shamefully treated. And as a result of that, David then had no doubt shown him favor when Ammon was defeated. And so now he is giving David some help. He's helping to bring sustenance and to support David and his army during this time of great need. So we never know when we give assistance to someone, when there may be a future time when that person will be in a position to give us assistance. And so it was here. Shobi was able to repay David for whatever kindness he showed him during the time they had the great conflict with the Ammonites. The second person mentioned here is Machir, the son of Amiel of Lodibar. Now Machir had been the one who had taken care of Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan. And he had been responsible for him and taken care of him until David finally looked him up and fulfilled his pledge to Jonathan that he would take care of his children. And no doubt David had been very appreciative of Machir for the work that he'd done in taking care of Mephibosheth. He had undoubtedly shown him great kindness, and now here's a chance for Machir to repay this kindness to David, in that he helps to extend hospitality to him and to provide sustenance for him and his men while they are in this area of Gad. The third person named here who gives assistance to David and his men is Barzillai, the Gileadite of Rogelim. Now this man was a very wealthy man. He was also very aged, up in his 80s. But he does give David great assistance here, and we'll find him talked about later when David attempts to have him to come to Jerusalem and spend the last of his days there. But he refuses this and wants to go back to his home area to live out his last days and to die. So here we see three people named who give David great assistance while he is in this area of Mahanaim in Gad, awaiting the conflict with Absalom and his men. We're going to close at that point. Till next time, this is NC Crouch saying goodbye, friends.